The Mishnah points out over here in Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, where we're we're up to here. That we're going to get into some more of the technicalities of age, when exactly one would be chayv for age, when would not. Eventually, some of these sugyas of Tumim tonight, and then we're pretty decent on to Emir Sashem. We're going to finish up the Perek on Sunday night, since tomorrow night we don't have a regular Seder here. And then we'll start with the Chazaras and all that, and I'll explain then on Sunday what's going to happen afterwards. But the Mishnah says in the middle of Samach Aleph from an Aleph that Ovra Godir Shugavoa Dalet Amos. If the fire crosses a wall, a fence that's higher than Dalet Amos, or at least the Dalet Amos and up, we'll see in the Gemara. O Derech HaRabim, if the fire crosses over a Derech HaRabim, a public road, Rashi points out that the technical expression which means a road that's a minimum of 16 amos wide. Rashi notes the Gemara Shabbos that Sarichet points out that the Diglei Midbar, when Klai Yisrael is camping out in the Midbar, and the Gemara different Cheshbonis of how the Klai Yisrael camp, but the size, the basic, the size of the row that the Klai Yisrael is traveling is a minimum of 16 amos, and that's not any less than that. That's called a Derech HaRabim. Okay, that's also relevant. The Gemara is there discussing in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rishus HaRabim, to be qualified as a public area which you're not allowed to carry Midaraisa in, or in and out to and from, is an area the minimum of 16 amos wide. Oh, Nahar, or if the fire or some or another to jump across a river, Pater, you're going to be exempt in all of those cases. In other words, basically, any one of those three things that are listed in the Mishnah is considered a gap large enough that in a normal circumstance the fire should not have crossed, and if it did, you're basically an onus and you're going to be potter. That's not looked at as a freak occurrence, and you're off the hook. Now, Gemara, I got it up. Okay, now. Yeah. Because you lit a fire in your house, not to make damage necessarily, but you lit a fire in your house, like classic age, they say to age, may add something like that last night. And it happens to be that the thing, mom had jumped across a whatever it was, and which you really shouldn't have done. So even though the my fire actually did burn something down, FLPK, nevertheless, I am going to be put. Okay, and the Gemara starts off with a technical question. That Tanya, but wait a second. We learned in a Braisa that Avra Godir Shu Gavoa Arba Amos Chayu. The Braisa basically says the exact opposite of the Mishnah, that if the fire jumps higher than a fence of Dalet Amos, you're still going to be Chayu for that fire. Our Mishnah says you're Potter, so what exactly is the story? So Avra Republic explains like this. They're both basically saying the same thing, but both the Mishnah and the Braisa are looking at a different angle and a different perspective. So, for example, the Gemara explains that Tana Didon, our Tana is Kachashiv Me Lamala Lamata. Our Tana in the Mishnah says that for Dalet Amos, you're going to be Potter, is calculating from up down. What does that mean? So he's looking at it and saying as follows: Sheish Amos, if the fire jumps the thing that's over 6 Amos high, that's your for sure Potter. Chamesh Amos, you're also going to be Potter. In other words, if the fire has to jump over a real high height, total onus, you're exempt. Add Arba Amos Potter till the fence would be Dalet Amos, you're going to be Potter. Rashi points out that we're assuming the famous line Ad Va'ad Bechlau. In other words, Dalet Amos, you're going to be Potter still. Anything less than Dalet Amos, if the fence that the fire traversed was less than Dalet Amos, so you're going to end up being Chayiv. Tana Bara, the outer Tana, now there's the other bright that I was quoted. May Lamata Lamala Kachash. If he was looking when he lists the idea of Dalet Amos from down on up. What does that mean? So if the fire jumped over something that was Shdei Amos, you'd be Chayiv. If the fire jumped over something that was Shalosh Amos, also not such a hardy jump, you're still going to be Chayiv. Add the Arba Amos, you're Chayiv. And as Rashi points out, this one over here is Ad below Ad Bechlau. If the fire was to jump over something up until Dalet Amos, but not including Dalet Amos, 3.9 is still considered low enough that the fire should be able to jump. That's not an accident if it causes you're going to be Chayiv. If there was a fence that was Dalet Amos on the other end, that you are going to be Potter for. So the reason why the Braita says Arba Amos is Chayiv, we mean if the fence is up until Arba Amos, you're going to be Chayiv for that, but Dalet Amos itself is going to be Potter, and they both end up the way the Gemara explains, saying the same exact thing, like we pointed out, looking at it from different angles. Okay, Omar Rabbi, here's where we start off with a little bit of a discussion now in the Gemara and the Rishonim. Again, relatively, so most of tonight's Gemara is a symbol until we get to somewhere halfway down Amud Beis. Omar Rabbi points out, Dalet Amos to Amr the Potter. When we say that if the fence or the wall is Dalet Amos, you're going to be Potter. That's Afilu Bisdei Kotzim. That's true even if you're dealing with a field of thorns, okay? We'll explain in 1 second. And Amar Papa that mitzvahs kotzim ulamayla dalet amos. But it has to be that if you're going to say you're putter in a field of thorns when the wall is dalet amos, it has to be that it's dalet amos higher than the edge, the tzvahs hakotzim, from the edge of the thorns. So what does that mean over here? Okay, there's a very simple, straightforward machlokas amongst the Rishonim how to interpret what exactly Rava and Rapapa are coming to try to say over here. And that works as follows. I'm going to start with it when it comes to the Rush, because the Rush is the clearest out of all these things. Tosis is a little bit less clear. Rashi itself is a little bit more controversial. They're going to work away backwards. Rush, Tosis, then Rashi, to make things as simple, I think, and Yiras Hashem, as possible. The Rush says a very clear statement. So when we speak about thorns, etc. Now, obviously, the idea, the point why thorns make a difference, that thorns are something that are easily flammable, or highly flammable. If you remember, that we pointed out the other night, right, that when we had the machlokas, the shlokas, Rav Yochanan, that nun tesam beis, samacham and aleph, when you give a fire to the hands of the chayr shot of a katan, and what stage in the game is it considered that you were the one who lit the fire and you're a total posheya? So everyone agreed if you give the chayr shot of a katan a match with some, at least a fire, a small little fire with thorns in his hand, you know that those thorns are going to burn, that the thorns are highly flammable, etc. So, well, what Rabbi and Papa are trying to say over here is, the Dalet Amos is even going to pass to you, despite the fact that the field is something that is highly flammable, is dangerous, should be catching on fire, as long as, again, your Dalet Amos above the edge of the thorns, your pastor says the rush, but that means that you have the following scenario. The fire is going to be starting over here with the white paper. Here is going to be the wall that's Dalet Amos. So the way the rush explains the Gemara is that the thorn field is on the other side of the fence. In other words, you have fires raising against the wall over here. And the way the Rush explains is that your putter, even if on the other side of the fence there's thorns, which it's very easy to light those thorns on fire. And you might have thought that if there's going to be a fire burning, the thorns are going to catch, so of course it's going to be considered a pshia. You're not the putter, even though the fence is there, because it's so highly combustible. And even Lamaisa, we see that the thing lit on fire. Nevertheless, we come along and say, no, there's a fence there, you're going to be putter. But as Rapapa points out in the end over here, that it has to be that the fence was Dalet Amos above the height of the thorns, and that's going to end up a pattern. So again, according to the Rush, the thorns that we're speaking about over here are the victims, as we'll call it, the things that are actually getting burnt. Lamaisa, when you look through Tosis and you read it carefully, knowing the Rush's point, and let me even say it even stronger, and you're not going to be led astray by the way Rashi reads the Gemara, which seems to be slightly different. You look through the Tosis basically seems to agree with that idea of the Rush, but the Tosis puts in another couple of simple qualifications, and again, it's all just a matter of practicality, the way the Tosis points this out. He says, first and foremost, he says, there's a couple of issues, okay? The Gemara notes that in order to be part, it has to be that the fence was Dalet Amos above the edge of the thorn. Okay, very nice. The Tosis then points out, but there are some other issues as well, there are other factors into the equation. Where and how high exactly is the fire going to be? In other words, you have a fence that's Dalet Amos high. Let's just say roughly, it's as high as this desk, it's probably a little bit higher than that. And they have a big fire that's raging up until here, right? So how much does it actually make a difference that if there was a fence that was Dalet Amos high and there are thorns that are there on the other side of the fence, that the fire is some big, massive conflagration that's there raging over the fence? So Tosis explains the rules basically are going to be as follows. He says, first of all, Eina Chenamu, we are speaking about a case where the wall itself is not necessarily higher than the flames. As Tosis points out, if the wall was higher than the flames, he says, then no matter what, you really should end up being potter, because the flames can't fly, right? So what happened? How did it cross over? If it did cross over, it really was an onus. So that should not have happened. There's a big high wall that's blocking a fire, right? The wall is 10 amos high, and the fire is some little, fire, even though it's burning a lot, when you smack up against the wall, as far as you have in this room, the fire should not be able to cross. If magically, meaning accidentally, the fire somehow or another jumps over that wall, you're right, that excuse me, that's going to be an onus. But, Tosis says, that's only going to be true when the wood that's burning on my side of the fence that's causing the fire is not piled higher than the fence. In other words, and again, a logical, practical point, if the bonfire that I lit was so high that it actually happens to be larger than the Dalet Amos fence that's there, hey, so there it's going to be told, it says that you'll end up being chayiv for whatever burnt down on the other side, because that basically is your fault. In other words, the point that Tosfos is making over here is that for all of these halachas, they're going to be saying you have to basically just look at the situation, appraise it in a svaradic, logical kind of a sense. What should happen? What shouldn't happen? Where was the fire? Where was the wall? But the basic shiur, and the Tosfos explains it, is even if the fire is going to be higher than the wall, as long as the fire wood that it's burning on is beneath the wall, as long as the wall is Dalet Amos above, the thorns that are there, despite the fact that the thorns are so flammable, you are going to end up being potter. Now Rashi seems to say a different pshat in the Gemara, and if you look in the Sefer, you should be familiar with by now, the Madura Basra of the Marsha, he questions a little bit the exact reading of the Rashi, but the way the Rashi is printed in the Gemara's over here is that Rashi's saying something, learning the Gemara slightly differently. That Rashi's saying that the chiddush of the thorns that are burning down is that the thorns are on the side of the burner. In other words, the thorns are on the side of the original fire. And you have a good, gesunte, healthy fire, strong fire that's burning. The thorns are all caught on fire. And in theory, you might have thought that it's easy for such a strong, raging fire to jump anything, cross anything. It's alive, it's moving, etc., etc., etc. No. If there's a fence that it's smashed into, it doesn't matter that it was a thorn field, that everything's lighting it with on fire. It's a whole massive thing over there. Doesn't make a difference. You're still going to end up being potter. And look in the Madura Basra of the Marsha, with certain problems with that idea, and what it goes. That's easily doable in the Beis Medrash a little bit later on to see some of those issues in Rashi. And you'll notice, I'm assuming, even on the sides of your Gemara, that they already note that there's a possible gear to change in the Rashi. So you look into that in the Marsha later on. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. If the fence doesn't even burn down, then it's useless. So the wooden fence is not, you have a fire, that's not going to do anything for you. Right. What was that?
Yes, oh!
Yeah, for sure. We're all good.
I'm learning how to people.
A blot, what do you call it? Basically, just have a blot to go